Good day and welcome to the presentation Trucks Group AB Quarter 3 Report 2022 call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Thomas Widstrand. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much. Thank you everyone for listening in, and as usual, I'll do a bit of a presentation of the third quarter development for Troax Group, and eventually then you will have the possibility to put questions, and I will do as usual, my best to answer them. As normal, for those who have listened in before, I will follow on a little bit the presentation structure that we have in what we call the reporting, which you can find at our webpage under Investor Relations, and under that you will have then reporting, and obviously this is third quarter reporting, so you will find it under that. If you don't find it or you don't have access to a webpage, it's not a big problem because I will still comment on the main issues. So as usual, I'll start with a short introduction of Troax Group, and we are, as you know, then safe and sound on solid ground. We are working mainly within three different segments within the safety business, and the first and the biggest one for us is called machine guarding, which is approximately 60% of our turnover. And for those of you who are looking into the webpage, you will find then that the picture we have that which exemplifies the machine guarding shows then a long production line where a number of robots are doing different welding or different operations, which potentially could be hazardous for people working in the same area. So obviously then, this is what we do. We help the customer with safety installation, regardless if it is perimeter guarding or if it is guarding then connected directly with the machine. The second segment that we are reporting are what we call warehouse partitioning, which is some 30% of our turnover. And as you see from the enclosed picture, it's a typical warehouse where people are not going so much around, but they are traveling with forklift trucks. And what we are doing then to help customer increase safety here is everything from preventing things which are on the shelves to fall down. We are also helping them to install the shelves itself. We do that through our company Natom that we bought 2 years ago. And we're also putting up different perimeter solutions and dividing and possible dangerous areas towards people working in this area. And the last one, which we call property protection, approximately 10% of our turnover, is then what we call storage solutions. It's perhaps not safety from a dangerous point of view or from a personnel dangerous point of view. It's more obviously for storage. So everything what you and I have gotten in luggage or bicycles or whatever we want to store, we normally then put in some sort of cage, which are then in the cellar, so could also be in the attic. Then something which we call the automated warehouse, which actually is a hybrid between machine guarding and warehouse partitioning, where we have seen that in the last couple of years, we have had a substantial growth in demand for more automated warehouse. So we created a special product package for this kind of installation, which, as the name implies, is much more automated than the normal warehouse. And as you can see from this picture to the right, you also see typical guarding done to prevent things from falling down. But this is much more than developed in order to prevent people from being hurt, because a number of pallets, regardless if they are filling up on the cabinets or if you take it up to be dispatched to customers or distribution centers, we try to help the customers to put up the safety solutions for this in order to prevent that no one should be injured if something should fall or a machine will go broke and go a bit non-operating mode, the stupid way, etc., etc. Now, I think there is worth one or two sentences regarding automated warehouse in general, because we've had an extremely good organic growth in 2020 and 2021 with this, driven by the continued demand for e-commerce solutions, where a number of international either integrators or big international end customers are then investing in rather huge installations, I would say. Now, what we saw last year, 2021, was that this kind of turnover had increased to approximately 20% of our turnover. But as we have explained before, a number of these big customers overinvested and during this pandemic period, and now during 2022, and it is expected to go into 2023 as well, are diminishing the number of new orders, waiting then that the continued positive trend of automated warehouse will put them into a situation then where the overinvestments done a couple of years ago would be absorbed and with the continued demand from the market. And we are agreeing to this analysis, so we think also that there will be a good market coming in again to us with new orders, but probably not until earliest towards the end of 2023. So this, let's say, segment, which we are officially not reporting, but as a hybrid and between, as I said, machine guarding and warehouse, will probably go down from some 20% last year to a substantially lower level this year. And this is the major effect or the reason why then I would say that the order intake is on a lower level than compared to last year when we compare the third quarter. Come to the figures in a second. The brief is the next figure. I think we jumped that because I think you are all aware of the substantial increase we had of sales and orders in 2021. This is now history. We're working with 2022. So I jump to the next page, which shows then the historical development. And as you know, we are a growth company. We are the biggest one in our niche market of indoor perimeters protection. You could call it mesh panel solutions. We are 2.5 to maybe 3 times bigger than number two players. We are in a number of countries, obviously, and we are over time growing with, in this case, this example says 12%. We are normally saying that we are growing over a business cycle with some 8 to 10% per year, based on that we have a market which is growing with perhaps half of that size. And then on top of that, we normally take market share over a business cycle, regardless if it is tougher times or even, let's say, more positive times. Going to the next one, showing the financial targets. So on the sales growth, we don't have a real KPI, which is we are externally saying we are going to have as a target. But we are, of course, saying then, like I tried to say just a second ago, that if the market is growing with some 6 to 7% over a business cycle, we should clearly be on top of this. And on paper, this quarter or year-to-date looks quite okay. We have been growing organically with 16%, but there's a big but here. The main part of it is actually the price increases that we have implemented during last year and especially during this year. So if you just look at the volumes, it's not a big change compared with last year. Having said this, you have to remember then that there were a huge increase of volumes last year, so we are comparing with the cumulative figures of 2021, which was a substantial increase compared with the year before. M&A, just a small one. We made, as you, if you remember, a small acquisition this year in Spain, and it's not developing bad at all, but of course, if you compare with the total figure of Troax, it has so far a rather small impact on the top line. Going to profitability, we are roughly on 18% cumulative and it was just slightly better in the third quarter. We have a target of 20%. Last year we were actually above that, which some of you might remember. And getting actually a bit tired of explaining this because it's going on for a little bit longer time than what we perhaps anticipated from the beginning. But we have two main reasons for this. One is that when we implement then price increases, which is based on that the steel price, which is a primarily raw material for us, is increasing, especially after the Ukrainian war started. It takes a number of 2-3 months until we see it's coming into our own result account. And now during the third quarter, we actually see that coming in, at least towards the end of the quarter. So that's starting to get rather positive, even if from an accounting point of view, you don't see it a lot for the whole of the third quarter. But the main part is actually still the delay in steel price reduction, which actually is going down since sometimes this summer. So you should maybe expect a little bit quicker implementation in the result of us, since we obviously are using a lot of steel every month. But when you look at the conclusion, it is so that we, during the period when there were rather tough times with steel, and you didn't even know if you're going to get the steel and to what kind of price, we bought a lot of steel to secure then deliveries to customers for a longer period of time, which means then that also during the third quarter, we've actually consumed then a lot of the steel which was purchased earlier for a higher price than what you actually can buy for today. So in hindsight, you might say that that was perhaps not the best solution. But I would say that if this situation would come up again, we would do exactly the same, because we think it's quite important, obviously, to keep our customers happy and don't want, obviously, to let them suffer for not being able to deliver because we have not ordered enough steel. That's the main reason. Now, having said this, steel that we bought them for a higher price is primarily now consumed. There are a number of these tons still there, but step by step during the fourth quarter, this will improve, even if the full effect will only be visible, I will say, during next year. But it's going in the right way. We see that, even if, of course, you cannot say that what we know today will be true tomorrow, because we have seen that, especially during this year, that there is a lot of turbulence, both with steel prices and freight costs and, you know, other things as well. And right now, of course, energy is coming up as something which is increasing substantially. So it's yet to be seen how that will have an influence then going forward. Going to the next issue, capital structure, I would say that we are in a very good, stable situation. We are far below than what is possible for us to have in relation, if you compare the net debt to the result level of EBITDA. So, in other words, we have quite good opportunities to continue to buy companies. The problem is only to find the right companies, and there are not so many around that actually we are interested in. But if and when the opportunity comes up, then, of course, we have the opportunity, as I said now, to continue to invest in acquisitions. Dividend, we don't need to talk about right now. It's something for next year. So one sort of summary, which I already touched upon, but I would say that the Q3 continued with good activity, except mainly in the automated warehouse field. Excluding down the automated warehouse, we show a similar order level as the strong third quarter 2021, which means then that I would say that the other customer segments or regions are actually developing quite well. We could see some improvement also in automotive, not in orders, but in activity level. And we reported last quarter that there was certain increase in of activity asking for quotes. for new products, and this has continued in Q3, which is positive. But as I already said, on the other hand, then we expect a continued weak demand for automated warehouse, and this will continue into 2023, without giving you an exact date when this will be changed. So in orders and sales, these are positively influenced by a net effect, or at least an indicative net effect on price increases that we have done to our customers based on the huge increase of steel. And we estimate that to be approximately 17%. So when you want to then analyze the volume effect, obviously you have to deduct on the price effect in order to get a reasonable figure to compare them with last year's figure. Already said then that the steel price continued or started to go down from the summer period, but as I said, we have now during the third quarter consumed most of what was still remaining from the higher priced steel that we had in stock. So let's see then how quick the improvement can go in quarter four and also in the beginning of next year. So we think it's a reasonable effort to result in margin in Q3, especially seen in the light and of the turbulent situation in the quarter. But of course, as long as we are below then the target, we are not really happy. But I still think then that seeing the circumstances, it's at least what we call acceptable. We have a relatively good utilization on manufacturing units, but they are lower than last year, because last year we had extremely high utilization because of this high order intake from especially the automated warehouse, which obviously has done some sort of negative effect with the coverage of fixed costs if it's a bit lower. I've already commented on the gross margin. Regarding customers, we have in good cooperation, I would say, increased prices. And as we write here, we see some effect of that during this quarter. Good sales levels in the Nordic region and new markets, earnings per share similar, albeit slightly lower. Working capital is on expected level. Inventory is still high due to high security levels, but started to go down. A few comments then on what I think some of you are interested in with our more recent acquisition. So this time, actually, NATO Logistics in Poland has this quarter been negatively influenced by the lower activity from the automated warehouse customers. Up until the third quarter, I think that NATO has done a very good job, and we've been very happy with the development. We are still, so to speak, happy with development totally, but in the third quarter, we could see a negative trend and based on the lack of orders from these kind of customers. The other one we did, the smaller one in Spain, and as I said, continued to develop well. Some longer lead times on some components, but generally speaking, developing quite well. After the closure of the quarter, we did another small acquisition called Svenska Cykelrum, who adds products or actually solutions stand for bicycle storage, mainly, I would say, for the Nordic area, at least short term. So that's something which will have, I think, a positive influence over the Nordic development in the coming years. It's a good complement then to what we already are offering, especially then on the property protection side. I think the financials from you have already gone through, so I don't need to go through that. It's rather clear and that the order intake is lower, mainly because of the automated warehouse reduction already commented. Sales is higher than last year. We are primarily then enjoying then still and the last projects that came in last year from the automated warehouse. So in the fourth quarter and first quarter next year, we don't have a big backlog or a big order book for these kind of customers. Gross margin, I already commented, they are too low, mainly because of what I already said with the steel price and the consumption of the higher inventory, which means then that there's a good potential for us to come back to the previous level in the coming quarters. Operating margin lower, partly because of then the little bit lower demand in automated warehouse and this kind of steel price development that I already explained. I think those are the biggest comments for this last three months. Going to the regional development, which is the next page, I just want to have a few comments then on, especially on the order side. You can see here that in continental Europe, which also have a number of important customers within automated warehouse, I would say has been a bit weak. We don't see for the other type of customers that there's a weakening of the demand, but you and I, we read the newspapers and you don't know what's going to happen in the coming quarters, but if you trust on the newspapers, you might see something negative in the coming quarters, but this is just speculation. Up until the third quarter this year, we've seen a rather stable development in Europe, as well as in the Nordic region, even if the automated warehouse has done a bit negative, both on continental Europe and the UK. In North America, it has had a more substantial impact. You can see it's a 23% decrease, which is rather substantial. So in the US, I don't think there are many projects at all going through right now with new projects, at least, with automated warehouse. So totally, we are 9% down on last year. And on top of that, of course, you have the price effect. Sales is a bit better. You have 9% higher. So as I said before, we have invoiced on a few of the remaining projects in automated warehouse which was taken during the end of last year. Now going to some conclusion, I will repeat a few of the conclusions or the summaries I had before. So we continue to receive, as we see it, some really important orders in all segments. So mainly this was pretty strong, I would say, within machine guarding. As I said now several times, that the orders for automated warehouse were weak. We note that requests for quotes are increasing from the automotive sector, not yet giving a lot of orders, but it's still a good sign for the quarters to come. We think that there's a continued reasonable development in result. However, I've said now also several times, the margin is, or has been at least under pressure, because of not the pricing effect to our customers have not gone through, because we have seen that during third quarter step by step that has been increased. But still it's the effect then of these steel price which were consumed now, which were bought for a higher price. Investments are going on according to plan. So in Natom we are investing in the new plants that we have bought, and it's very good, actually. Already mentioned the acquisition of Flytech and this Svenska Cykelrum done now in October. So in total, we think that we have an excellent base for continued growth and continued development. Despite, of course, we have to still show you and others that the margin needs to be improved compared to the third quarter. Going to some factors which has a positive effect on the growth, I would say that those are still remaining. I will just mention two of them which are, according to my opinion, the most important. One is the continued increased industrial automation. This has been ongoing for a number of years and we think it will continue to grow. And especially now after, I think, the COVID, I think a lot of people have realized and that maybe you have to have manufacturing closer to home, which is not negative for us. And then you have the growth in e-commerce, which now has some sort of pause phase or slow phase during 2022 and 23. But I'm convinced that this will continue and to take off in a positive way from maybe end of 23 or beginning of 24 and going forward. So we're quite positive over that more long term. For those of you who are interested, I can just a little bit round off here before we come into questions, that on the production units, which is the next page, we have not done any major things right now, except then if you go to the right side of it, we show there the Poland, which is the Natom acquisition, we have substantially now increased the sales capacity during this year, and we have much better possibilities right now for continued growth, especially on the shelf side, which are an important product segment, especially when selling into these international customers within automated warehouse. On the Troax Group, we are working, as you know, with different brands, and we have added now Claitec, which perhaps will, from a brand point of view, not have a major impact, but nevertheless, it has had a good development so far, and we look forward to continue to develop solutions based on the technology that we have acquired from Claitec. Safer Tomorrow, since 1955, as you know, we are the original. And for the Safer Tomorrow, we continue to work on environmental issues. So the main issue for us is still to increase on the recycled steel, what we purchase from the steel mills. All other things that we can do are only that they have a minor impact compared to the increased possibility with recycled steel. We're also starting now to show the CO2 consumption per main articles for customers. So if they are interested, they can see them if they buy a certain type of product, what the CO2 consumption is. It doesn't change our own consumption, perhaps, of CO2, but nevertheless, it gives the customer then a better decision model for what they want to order. On the safety center, we continue to do tests and to develop our R&D. And as I think I've said before, we have now opened a bit new doors. And actually, you can see here, we have the Troax power door. So we are trying also to automate and the sliding doors that the customers are using in production and warehouses. And it's been very well received. So we think that that opens even further possibilities, of course, going forward. We are certified by TÜV Rheinland, so the customers, of course, know that we are not the only one who is saying that we are doing checks and coming up with the quality level, which is according to the specification. We also have done someone external to prove that, which is, I think, okay. So with this, I'd like to round off saying we still continue to protect people, property, and processes. And with this, I'd like to hand over then to the operator to invite them for some questions.
Thank you, sir. A reminder to the participants, if you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, press star 1 to ask a question. We pause for just a moment to allow everyone the opportunity to signal for question. We will take the first question from Peter Testa from One Investment. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Hi. No, thank you for the answers. Question, sorry. I was looking for three, please. Firstly, just to understand your comments around price and how we should think about it going forward in the context of steel prices, which are, you know, at this point below the end of 2021. If you could give some sort of sense, please, as to how you think you consider price going forward in new orders and new opportunities.
It's a very good question. I have to be a bit careful, however, how I comment this, because there are people listening to this call which might influence them based on what I say. But I can just say then that we have, as I tried to say before, in good cooperation with our customers, increased already pricing to compensate for the steel price increase, and we have seen that that at least is starting in a good way to come through in our result account. So to answer your question, how does it look going forward? It is obviously done so that some customers will require a lower price. And we think then that there are so many things which have increased in costing, so we will be rather cautious going forward by further reducing the price. But of course, in some cases, we are doing this because otherwise we will be out of the price tunnel, which we and the competitors are setting in practice. So in other words, you can translate into say that there will be some reduction of pricing going forward based on that the steel price is going down or has been going down. But we have no intention, so to speak, of letting all of this disappear because there are a number of other things which are increasing, among others energy, which we also need to, one way or another, to control and to compensate us for.
Okay, thank you. And then the second question was just on costs. Yourselves, even thinking about your own inflation, what sort of inflation you think you're facing going forward, and maybe also when thinking about the units, I think, you know, U.S. and Poland in particular, more focused on automated warehouse, whether you have flexibility within that to manage, you know, utilization the way you have on that slide that you showed in the presentation.
Good question. We will obviously try as much as possible to reduce and at least the variable cost going forward in order to follow and the possible order trend until then the automated warehouse will get started again. So we will have then, regardless if it is 1 year or whatever it is, we will try to, as good as possible, compensate and the variable costs. Talking about the fixed costs like depreciation and the sales costs, we will not do any major changes there because it is so that we put in a lot of effort into hiring good salespeople and also to educate them in what we're doing. And we have no intention of taking them out because when we then start again, it will cost us a lot of work to get new good people and to train them. So try to answer your question. On the variable cost side, I think we can rather good compensate for this, especially on the manufacturing side. But the fixed cost, apart from depreciation, if I call them the sales, especially the sales cost, we don't have the intention of doing any dramatic decreases short term. So there will be, in that case, if we cannot compensate this on other products, which there are clear possibilities that we can do, and we will have a reduction of the operating margin.
And then on the automotive opportunity that's building up, I was wondering if you could give some sort of sense as to kind of the breadth and character of those orders, you know, what you think it will take to convert them from the customer side, what sort of decisions need to happen.
Yeah, we've been waiting a long time for the automotive segment to increase because with all what's going on here with the transfer of platforms to electrical platforms, et cetera, we thought that this would have started actually earlier this year or maybe even into last year. So we have seen a positive development already last year in United States, and this year we might see at least then the request for quotes now coming in Europe, not so much the Far East yet. So we have good, let's say, good hopes at least that this might take off then a little bit in 2023. And I think Tom's tried to answer your question. It is so then that we are quite strong with automotive, even obviously there are other competitors. So when they do projects, which they now finally seem to get starting, I think we have a fair chance of taking, you know, our part of what we think we should get from these kind of projects. I think maybe we have underestimated and also the lead time between they start to think about and to invest until they get the manufacturing line ordered, because it's only then when they start normally to look into the kind of solutions that we are providing. So it looks this time that the lead times in reality is longer than what it's been historically. And maybe this is something to try to answer your question also to give you the full flavor. But otherwise, we're quite positive over that. Sooner or later, this will take off better than what it has been doing in the last couple of years.
Those are very helpful answers. Thank you.
You're welcome. More questions?
We will take the next one from Gustav Osterberg, Carnegie Investment Bank. Your line is open.
Thank you, and good afternoon, Thomas. Just a follow-up for me. I know you talked about sort of the performance of the order intake X automated warehouses, and I mean, you seem to be quite comfortable still with the order levels that you see outside of that segment. Can you You talked a little bit about automotive, but can you provide some flavor of how you think about the cyclicality of those orders with regard to sort of a general business outlook?
Yeah. If there will be now, which a lot of newspapers or experts are saying, there will be some reduction in general demand, obviously we are going to get hit by that also. But otherwise, up until the end of September, we didn't see any lowering of activity except on these automated warehouses. So we've seen from small companies to big customers, they still have a lot of projects which are ongoing and probably ongoing into the first part of next year. To say something about, you know, the summer of next year or so is pretty difficult right now. We can't really comment that. But I would say that for the coming 3 to 6 months, we see a market which is pretty stable. If nothing new is coming up, again, with the exception of automated warehouse, which you can more or less forget them for the coming 6 months. So whether or not there will be, you know, a further reduction of activity in quarter four is difficult to say, but based on the information we have until the end of September, it was quite stable. Not growing, must stress this, but on the other hand, the third quarter last year, which we were comparing with, was very strong. So you have to remember when you compare with this quarter then that when I say that it looks stable, it's rather a positive comment so far.
Well understood. And I have a follow-up on that question. I mean, you're seeing some companies talking about nearshoring trends where you move production back to Europe and the U.S., with more, you know, either factories being built or remanufacturing of existing supply lines to allow for more automation. Is that something that you're seeing currently or having discussions with clients about at least?
Yeah, we hear a lot of customers talking about it, and we might have seen one or two examples of it being not perhaps being executed, but at least being decided. But these are things which normally take a little bit longer time. So I wouldn't say that you have seen a lot of it in third quarter, and I'm pretty certain you're not going to see a lot of it in the coming quarters. But if you look at it more, you know, in the years to come, this is a clearly positive trend which we will enjoy, I would say, both in, especially in Europe and in North America.
All right. Thank you very much. Those were all questions from my side.
Thanks, Gustav.
Yes. Next one from Johan Skoglund, DNB Market. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Yes. So thank you for the presentation and answer so far. So concerning inventory, since you took your stock down, would you please be able to provide some more color on how this could look going forward? For example, if you are pausing orders from suppliers temporarily to bring inventories down quickly, or would you say that this is more of a gradual decrease going ahead?
You're talking about inventory, right?
Yes,
I lost you a little bit. Yes, you know, we talk about a gradual decrease because we won't come back to the previous level of inventory because I think those days are over when, you know, you could use just in time and have this security that still things were working. But we were and we are still at the end of September on a too high level on inventory level. And step by step, this will go down, not, as I said, to what it was before. The Ukrainian problem started, but maybe somewhere in between. Let's see. But it will certainly go down from today's level.
Thank you.
We have no more participant queuing for questions, sir. You can take the floor.
Okay. Thank you very much. Appreciate your questions. Some are very new and some are, let's say, more common. So let's just say that I'm very grateful for your interest in us. And we are seriously, of course, looking forward to meet you again, I think, mid of February when we're going to report on the fourth quarter. And I guess that one of the key issues then will of course, be the gross margin again. So let's see how we can handle it until then. Thank you very much, and take care. Talk to you in February. Bye-bye.
That concludes today's event. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.